Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Epic, the 69th Montana Legislature. It was, you know, there's a little pull and tug going on for the past 4 months there in Helena. It wrapped up last week, and over the next couple of weeks here, we're going to take a look at, you know, talking with stakeholders and industry experts, discuss the impact of some new laws, and also, you know, talk about the process of laws that might not have been so great that were eventually killed during the legislature. That's the job of many, right? To introduce good bills, kill the bad bills. Today we start with, well, you know, business and industry, and that affects a ton of us in the state of Montana. Montana Chamber of Commerce President Todd O'Hare is with us, and also Government Relations Specialist Sheridan Hoyer to join us today. We'll track some of those bills that passed or not to the benefit of the Montana economy and your community on Voices. Oh, my. Some of those that were, some of those bills in the legislature, I'm glad not to see get across the finish line. And some of those that did get across the legislative finish line are still on the governor's desk. What's going to happen with that? And we talked about that yesterday with House Bill 924, the Growth and Opportunity Trust Fund. It creates several pots, actually. The one we were discussing yesterday was childcare. And there's still a lot to discuss as that one goes forward. And there's something here going on with the Montana Chamber of Commerce as well. They've got the Employer Forum for Childcare Solutions upcoming. We'll get into that. That's Thursday, June 5th. That is free to the public, thanks to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation as well. So for today's discussion, let's welcome Montana Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Todd O'Hare. Todd!
I'm here.
It's done. It's over. What a haul, huh?
Yeah, you know, every 2 years, you know, you kind of lead up to every 2 years, and those of us that work in this field, you dread it because it is a long 90 days, very long days, yeah. Lots of intensity, having to make decisions quickly at times. But once you kind of get going through the session, it's also a lot of fun, right? We enjoy ourselves, and you know, you get folks in from all over the state with a huge, diverse sort of background of personalities and experience serving as legislators, and yeah. and same way with the government affairs and the lobby sort of folks that show up. And so it's a lot of work, it's a lot of intensity, it's a lot of stress, but we also enjoy ourselves during this time once we get going.
A lot of good people there, and that's what
a lot of good people.
Yeah, that's what makes it enjoyable. And the work is difficult, and as you noted, you probably had a different role than the one Sheridan Hoyer played as government relations specialist for the Montana Chamber of Commerce. Sheridan, Ms. Hoyer, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having us on.
Thanks for being on. What was your experience? As Todd relayed some things from his viewpoint, what was your experience?
Yeah, I'd agree that the people really make it happen. With the way the Montana legislature works, we had a lot of new faces with our 8-year term limits as part of our constitution. And so by the time legislators get into their last session serving, it's only their fourth time there in the building often, and they can flop between House and Senate. But often there's a lot of new faces this year, at least in the House. I was in on issues I didn't quite expect to be in on. I spent a lot of time up in the Senate Energy and Senate Taxation Committee, and I learned way more about taxes than I ever thought I needed to know this session. And there was a lot of bills moving through. You know, I think that another shout out is just to the legislative staff that makes it all happen, the nonpartisan staff that are seriously writing bills and accruing so much comp time as they, if you look on the legislative website, they had over 1,700 introduced bills this session. And so somebody had to write that, and somebody else had to pick it up, get it signed, and get it introduced onto the House or Senate floor. So really appreciate all of the hard work that goes into making governing happen here in Montana. And at the end of the day, I think that everyone's heart is at least in the right place, even if we don't agree.
Yeah, right. And I appreciate that. And I believe that wholeheartedly, too. And that helps you go the next day. And, you know, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some, so to speak. 1,700 bill. See, there was one senator who said maybe we're a little self-indulgent. We don't need to necessarily bring 1,700 bills to the legislature. And that's probably, I mean, I would agree with that. Todd, what were some of the key wins? I mean, you guys deal with so much: Medicaid, tax reform, tort reform, child care, energy, housing. It's all impactful in our economy. So what do you say? I think you're going to go right to Medicaid reauthorization, because that the whole business community was behind that one.
You know, the Montana Chamber is a unique organization in the sense that we cover such a wide swath of issues. You know, a lot of other sort of association types are pretty trade specific or industry or business sort of specific. We're broad, and so we cover everything from, you know, HR type issues to tax issues to anything that has anything to do in the general business community sense. And so so we cover a lot of bills through a legislative session. I would say that, you know, we went into this session with our big priority being Medicaid expansion, particularly recognizing that that preserving the status quo, something that has been in existence since I think it was 2015 in Montana, that we wanted to preserve that. And we looked at Medicaid expansion, and it, again, that was just maintaining the status quo that we've had for the last 10 years, as really important, particularly to rural communities. And you think about, you know, the communities of Dillon and Plains and some of those rural communities in the West, and then you go to the eastern part of the state, and being able to maintain medical services in rural communities is crucial to economic vitality and survivability of these rural communities. And so that was a big priority for us as we went into this legislative session. It actually passed easier than we expected, easier than we were prepared for. But I think that's largely due to the fact that, you know, the business community was unified and had come in and said, like, this is a priority for us and we want to take care of this. And so, you know, we would consider that, you know, a significant win. And we got that kind of out of the way early on, which then opened up the runway for, like, what's consumed most of the oxygen in the tent for the rest of the session, which was related to property taxes and taxes in general. That was the big discussion that remained through the rest of the session. Before we get into the property tax thing, I think the other big accomplishment that I think that we achieved during this legislative session was around legislation that we passed in response to this held Montana Supreme Court case, which really kind of upset a lot of sort of development sort of activity in the state. And so that was the climate change litigation. And we passed some legislation in response to that to try to put some guardrails around how the state permits any sort of a project, right? You know, like how much greenhouse gas analysis do you have to do for any sort of a project? And so that was some of the work that we did that, you know, you could kind of put in the energy space, but it frankly covered a much wider swath of the business community than just those in the energy world. And so I think we had five bills. Sheridan, correct me, she's the expert here. She was working this every day. But I think we had five bills related to the held decision that we passed into law, governor signed, that will give more certainty to the business community as they look at permits that they may need for everything from gravel permits, housing development, to energy, right? When you think about constructing energy sort of projects. So I think we're really proud of the fact that we were able to take a real uncertain sort of decision that created a lot of uncertainty in the business community and put some guardrails around that, provided some certainty and assurance to the business community going forward.
Yeah, and that was not a light haul. That was a heavy haul to do that. And the Supreme Court had invited the legislature to do that in their ruling, in the Held versus Montana ruling there, which, dealt with a greenhouse gas assessments in development projects. And it's a very difficult decision. And, I wish the case itself was held in a different way. But this is where we're at.
Yeah.
So the legislature, and Sheridan, why don't you weigh in here with this? I'm very curious about that. I mean, we got property taxes, and, after we shake the dust off, I'm still dusty when it comes to property taxes. But MEPA reform, you couldn't take too big a bite of an apple because of the way our courts are right now. What kind of guardrails do we have? What does it look like going forward?
Yeah, I can share the numbers, and Todd was the one in all these committee hearings, or most of them, so I can toss back to him. But some of them were just generally revising it. So MEPA is the Montana Environmental Policy Act, and oftentimes it is referred to as the Protection Act, and that's not what it is.
Right.
In that same legislative session, just before the Constitutional Convention in the early 70s, they had both the Montana Environmental Policy Act and the Montana Environmental Protection Act, and they shot down the Environmental Protection Act back in the 70s. And so this is the procedural details. And so one of them, we have a couple of generally revised titles, some details on categorical exclusions within HEPA, some details on air quality standards, and I can track down some more of my notes, but I'll let Todd fill in the gaps there.
Yeah, Todd, go ahead. Are you satisfied with this? I suppose there's work to be done. What's your assessment?
Yeah, I think we are satisfied. And some of this will obviously have to play out. And we expect that there will be some litigation around some of the legislation that we passed. But I think from a 50,000 foot level, Tom, is that the Held decision essentially told the state this, like, you have to analyze greenhouse gases when issuing a permit. But they didn't give us any sort of guidance. It's like, to what extent do you have to analyze greenhouse gases? And for what permits do you have to analyze greenhouse gases? And that was the concern that we had from the Held decision, is that, are we going to be forced to analyze the greenhouse gas emissions if a landowner wants to put in a gravel pit? Is this going to be an opening for folks that don't want to see a gravel pit come in and litigate and say, we're going to sue because we think you need to analyze greenhouse gases from a gravel pit or from a new housing development that requires a state permit? And then you get into the questions like, okay, well, how extensive of a greenhouse gas analysis do you have to do? It's like, you have to analyze end use, like, what if you're mining coal in Montana? Do you have to analyze what the greenhouse gas emissions are from a coal-fired generating plant that receives Montana coal that is in Japan?
Mm-hmm.
And do you have to analyze the emissions from the coal mine all the way to the coal-fired generating plant in Japan, for example? And so what we did is like, well, let's put some guardrails around this, because those sort of open-ended questions on, like, what kind of permits and to the extent of the analysis that you have to do are such open-ended sort of questions that you could see that the business community or any investor might not ever get to the end of the process. You might not ever get to the point to where, you said, okay, I've done a thorough job of analyzing greenhouse gases, and the state says, yep, you have, here's your permit, go forth and do good. The problem was, it's like, you would end up in endless sort of litigation over, did you do enough? Did you go far enough? Did you consider this? Did you consider that? And so our attempt here was to try to put like some firm guardrails around this so that the business community that's involved in any of those sort of investments can look at this and say, we can see a path, and it's a clear path. We follow this path, we get to the end, we should be able to get a permit, and we should be able to get a permit within a reasonable period of time. And that was our entire goal. Now, obviously, there's going to be some folks that are going to disagree with, that path, and that's where we might see litigation in the future. But that was our big goal here, was to try to provide some certainty, provide a clear route, for investment in Montana that provides some certainty so that when you get to the end of the process, yep, you've checked the boxes, you've conducted the work, here's your permit.
Yeah. Sheridan.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, follow up.
Yeah, I was just going to note that that certainty that Todd is alluding to is the biggest thing here. We want investment in the state, and we want to do it responsibly, but we want businesses to be able to know all the details and know what to expect as they come into it. And so I as we look at it, there were these five bills, and one just reaffirms that MEPA is procedural in nature, and it's to share information, not to deny permits or block development. And then one makes it clear that the state of Montana can't adopt air quality standards that are stricter than the federal government. Another bill makes it so if you're excluded from National Environmental Policy Act standards, you're also exempt at the state level. And then as well as making sure that, so that was the last one, the biggest one, I think, was Senate Bill 221, which is from Senator Wiley Gulk, and it is it clearly defines what is included in that MEPA analysis that Todd was mentioning, and then it directs the DEQ to create rule on that.
And that's the bold one. I mean, if we were to look at, and there's some tangible stuff here. Procedural, MEPA is procedural, not regulation. I like the can't adopt air quality standards. Follow the feds on that. Same with NEPA. 221. That was more, that's the bold one, Todd, right?
Yeah,
talk about that one.
Yeah, and, we can't thank Senator Galt enough for bringing that bill forward. I think it was thoughtful. There were a lot of folks involved in analyzing this, like, what does this need to look like? And how do we build something here in this legislation that the Montana Supreme Court, should that come before them again, they say, yeah, you guys have met the burden here. You've put appropriate guardrails on this thing that, is mindful to the environment and still allows for development to occur in the state, finds this appropriate sort of balance. And that was that bill there took a lot of brain power from a lot of really smart attorneys thinking through what all of the implications, unintended consequences, how do we look down the road far enough so that we're doing something here that will stand the test of time and stand the test of litigation going forward. And Senator Galt was a real hero in that, from the business community and from the development world, in being able to bring that bill forward and get that over to the governor's desk. So, and it's, as Sheridan noted earlier, there's a lot of hands that get involved in legislation that ultimately goes through both chambers and makes it to the governor's desk. And we're one of many that were heavily involved in that. And I don't want to suggest or have anyone feel like this was our doing and our doing alone. We had a lot of great support and a lot of great partners that were with us arm in arm on that. And I think that's a testament to the fact that, we got it through the legislature, got to the governor's desk. And so it really is a team sport when it comes to moving legislation through the Montana legislature.
Montana Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Todd O'Hare with us, and Government Relations Specialist Sheridan Hoyer wrapping up, a look from the business community of the 69th Montana Legislature. It covered Medicaid expansion renewal and MEPA reform, a couple of really, really big items. And Todd, we've been talking property taxes and tax relief going in, coming out. Like I said, we shake the dust off, and I still don't have a full understanding of our tax structure in the state of Montana. And every conversation I have about taxes, I ask folks, do we need to have a more grown-up and full-on discussion about our tax structure in Montana, with the expectation that there is the will to change it for the better? What's your take on what happened with the property tax bills through this legislature?
First of all, don't feel bad for not really understanding it. I think there's only about two people in the entire state of Montana that understand the Montana property tax system. You had Bob Story on the other day, and he's unquestionably kind of the leading expert when it comes to property taxes. And I think, you know, you've had this conversation, Tom, on your show here a little bit. And I think rather than I get into a lot of the mundane details, I think going straight to your question is that I think our message is like, if nothing else from this legislative session was demonstrated beyond a doubt, was the fact that we need to have a serious conversation about Montana's tax structure. And I stumbled onto the Montana Chamber of Commerce had a newsletter that we put out in 1972. And I just stumbled onto this newsletter. And in that newsletter, there was a half-page ad bought by a company called Andacona Copper Company. And in that ad, they noted that they had paid over $11 million in property taxes in 1971. One company paid $11 million in just property tax in 1971. You flip to the back of that newsletter, and on the back page, Big Sky had a full-page ad announcing the opening of new condos at Big Sky, which you could rent for $14 a night. And so you think about the dichotomy that we have in our economy today between Andacona Copper Company, which no longer exists, and so the $11 million that they paid in 1971 no longer comes from the Andacona Copper Company. And what a night stay in a condo at Big Sky is today, I think it speaks to this changing economy that we have. And when you think about Andacona Copper Company paying $11 million of property tax in 1971, in today's dollars, that's $84 million. And so this economy has changed. It has evolved. It is dramatically different than it was in 1971. And I will contend that it's going to be dramatically different in 10 years from now than it is today. And as long as we continue down this road of saying we're stuck on largely a two-tax system sort of revenue to fund essential services at the local level and on the state level, this argument, this debate, this disagreement that we're going to have that we had during this session over who pays that will continue until we decide we're going to do something different. The fight will always be about who's going to pay a larger share of the property taxes. And at the end of the day, this is not a tax structure that suits an economy that is more of a professional services economy than it is a natural resource economy. Bringing this more into today, you know, about a year ago at this time, Missoula County lost two major property taxpayers. They lost Roseburg Lumber there in Missoula, and they lost Pyramid Mountain Lumber in Sealy Lake. And those were two significant property taxpayers that have gone away. And the property taxes that those two businesses alone paid will now be borne by the residents and the remaining businesses in that community.
Taking a look back, tracking back on some of the bills that were good that passed, that were bad that died, that were bad that passed, that were good that didn't pass, as we take a glance back at the 69th Montana Legislature. Business and economy, it involves almost everything that you put your finger on in Montana, housing, childcare, energy. It talked about Medicaid and healthcare access, tax reform, tort reform. Hopefully we have time to get to that. Our guest today, Montana Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Todd O'Hare, Government Relations Specialist Sheridan Hoyer with the Chamber as well. And I know those guys, you two are just as busy as anybody, as those legislators up there. And I've said it over and over, but our citizen legislature is awesome. I really love it. And, you know, it's not always, they don't always get it right, I guess, but neither do I. So there's that with the legislature. Stand by, Skip and Hamilton. We'll take your call here in a bit. Sheridan Hoyer, I want to have you finish up. As we went to break, Todd was talking about, having this grown-up discussion about our tax structure in Montana, what we did with property taxes and, just the mess, I think, that we understood it was going to be trying to get into it. Did that convince more people in the legislature and those who are going to have to lead that process about possibly changing our tax structure in Montana? What's the will?
Yeah. I think that if you paid any attention to those tax bills as they went through the process, we ended up with both House Bill 231 and Senate Bill 542 as the final kind of structures for tax relief, in quotes there. We'd argue that that just is a tax shift onto businesses, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that just the confusion and the details and how intense and complicated our tax structure is really helping lead that conversation in the interim. I think that so we convene the business caucus every Monday, and so we that's a closed book meeting of folks to speak freely within the business community and business lobbyists as we get on the same page and sometimes disagree. But we met again yesterday. Normally that ends at the end of the session, but we met again yesterday, still talking about that tax conversation and what that looks like in the interim and how we can help be a leading force in that conversation. And I would think that as especially new legislators come in, and it's hard to understand, right? I learned way more than I ever thought I needed to know, but I still couldn't tell you most of the details on our property's tax structure, and I'm relying on the experts we know. And I think that happens in the legislature too. There's folks that have been there a long time. Those are the experts, and you kind of lean on them. But it's hard, I think, to be a legislator in such a quick... I said I can't run for the legislature because I don't want to have an opinion on every single thing I have to vote on, right? I just get to focus on my little area here as a lobbyist. And so I think that the conversation is changing, and I think that the will be there. And I think that with the results we got, we're going to be back here in 2027 having another argument about taxes. And so the business community is going to really take a hard look at it in the interim and stay involved and help lead that conversation for what holistic property tax relief really does look like.
I think there's a lot of reluctance to do that because the term sales tax is going to be bantered about, and that's nothing but, you know, a target on somebody's back. But we've got to get over that. And sales tax doesn't have to be the solution, you know, to what we're looking at here either. We just have to have, it's got to be part of the discussion, that's for sure. But there's reluctance because of the nature of it. And I, you know, I'm not a fan of taxes. I think you send it to Washington or send it to Helena, they'll spend it. So I do like a restrained tax structure. Let's take this call from Skip in Hamilton on KLYQ. Citizen Skip, good morning. You're on the air with Montana's Chamber of Commerce experts here, Todd O'Hare and Sheridan Hoyer.
Well, thank you, Tom. And this is really interesting.
It is.
I think all three of you, like I've told Tom before, all three of you could run for the legislature and probably teach them all a whole bunch of stuff in a short period of time.
We're running the other way at this moment.
I don't blame you.
I personally, you
just make me raise questions in my mind. Well, what do you think about a flat tax? Or what do you think about having to finally do something about having a sales tax? But what do you think about, because the 1972 Constitutional Convention created the Constitution that we now live under. That was 53 years ago, I think, something like that. What do you think about in an interim year having another constitutional convention? And because now we have all these dynamic questions that just keep sitting there and boiling away, that we get them covered and get them taken care of. Just like I remember it was Leo Grayville that pulled that constitutional convention together for the spring of 1972, and it was there's a wonderful PBS program about it, actually a couple of them, and put it back together and get us on a new start based on today's demographics and economic situations and the best thing we can do, so we can just simply answer these questions definitively and actually create a constitution that's maybe better for business in the state of Montana.
Boy, that's a... Yeah, thank you, Skip. Yeah, that's a bold step. It is. And so I'll throw that to you, Todd, the president and CEO of the Montana Chamber. Why swim in a shallow mud puddle when you can just jump into a deeper mud puddle?
Well, I appreciate the question.
Yeah.
And I think it is a question that deserves, you know, serious thought. And I kind of default to, like, it would make me nervous to have a constitutional convention at this point, just because, you know, you don't know the direction they're going to go. And unintended consequences of going down those sort of roads is frightening, I think, right? It could end up being better, and it could end up being substantially worse. I would rather us take a look at, like, you know, what can we do underneath the existing constitution we have? We've still got room to navigate and operate underneath our existing constitution. We've not exercised our full capacity underneath our existing constitution. And so I think that there's room left there, and I would probably, you know, at this moment in time, I would prefer not going into a constitutional convention, because you don't know what the outcomes would be, and instead focus on how we can operate underneath the existing constitution that we have today. And like I said, we've got room that we can swim in that pool, our arm's length can expand underneath the existing one if we can have the will to do that. And I think we're getting closer all the time, Tom, to Sheridan's point about having the will to have this discussion on, you know, using property tax and the tax structure in general in Montana. I think there is a lot more openness amongst legislators to have that conversation and start putting everything on the table and seeing, like, what would work for us if we wanted to craft something alternatively to what we have today.
Yeah, I appreciate the perspective on that, too. Todd O'Hare, again, is with us, Montana Chamber of Commerce. He's president and CEO and government relations specialist, Sheridan Hoyer. We knew Sheridan when she was an intern around here. Sheridan Johnson was her name then. Congratulations, Sheridan.
thank you.
You know, since then. And thank you both again for being here. I am going to move to this right now because I wanted to make sure that we got it out there. And there's time to tort reform. There's some potpourri stuff I want to get to. But you guys are sponsoring the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation is helping you support this as well. It is a Montana employer forum for child care solutions. We did quite a bit of this yesterday in terms of talking what still needs to be done in that regard. And I don't want to bring up House Bill 924. We did it yesterday. It's really kind of complicated here. Who wants to go into this? What is this forum? It's okay, free to the public, Thursday, June 5th. Again, June 5th to Thursday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Delta Colonial in Helena. Go ahead, Sheridan.
Yeah. So in the last 2 years, as we've been tackling child care with the Chamber, this is our kind of first foray into this issue. I've been able to be the policy lead here on our staff, and we're part of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation and the Bipartisan Policy Center bring together stakeholders from all sorts of states. And with that support, we're able to bring together, I think a lot of the events I've been able to attend in the last year have been really focused on the child care side and what we can do to help support the system, and that's great. And part of a lot of the child care legislation this session was that too. And we heard on the House floor, like, why isn't business doing something? If this is so important to business, why isn't business taking part in it? And that's kind of the point of this employer forum, bringing together both nonprofit employers, there's a lot of those in the state, as well as private businesses that see childcare as a challenge, but they're really not sure where to start. And so because of this grant funding, we're able to make it free of charge. You just got to get to Helena on June 5th, join us, and there's going to be a lot of discussion on what your needs look like as a business or as an employer and how you can get involved in helping fix that without having the government be involved, which I would argue that that we need some sort of support because it's a broken market, but the Chamber is not advocating for long-term, supporting the system just to keep child care afloat, right? We got to do something.
Yeah, and Todd, every one of your members, as you speak to them, have probably mentioned this to you.
Yeah, this is a big credit to Sheridan, and I think this gets exactly to the point you just made there, Tom, is that a session ago, we weren't really involved much in the child care. Sheridan had just started with the Montana Chamber of Commerce. She was starting to stick her toe into it. Our members were telling us that this was one of the significant headwinds to growing their business or even maintaining the business that they had was child care. It's like, you know, our workforce is short, and we've got folks that can't, you know, come to work for our company because they can't find affordable or daycare at any price. And so, so as a result of like that response to what our membership was saying, we were able to bring Sheridan on, and Sheridan said that she was really interested in this issue, and she's really dived into this or dove into this issue, and it's just really owned it. And I would note that, you know, a session ago there wasn't hardly anything done legislatively on the child care front. We're now moving the needle, and I think it's because we have someone at the Montana Chamber of Commerce that's taken a real leadership role on this thing, and we're starting to get attention amongst legislators and recognizing that this is important. And we've opened up a whole new conversation just within the course of the last 2 years, and it's an example of, as an organization, how like we're responding to what businesses are telling us are their significant pinch points, and we're looking for ways that we can address those pinch points, not for one particular business or one particular sector, but for the business community at large throughout the state of Montana. And this is one of those issues that's really important.
And good job doing that, too. Go ahead, Sheridan.
Tom, you said, I got married a year ago. I'm trying to help fix the problem before it becomes my problem.
Well, good. All right. And let us know when it becomes your problem. Okay. We want to celebrate that with you. I'm going to keep rolling here. And again, thank you guys. I mean, child care reform is vitally important. We want to make it so that those child care centers have black ink, not red ink. And I think that can be done, like you said, in a balanced kind of approach. So I'm just going to take the final 2 minutes that we got here. And Todd, I think I want to talk about tort reform because I know how vital it is. And it's one of those things that kind of slides underneath the radar a little bit. Where do you think tort reform is in Montana? Did the legislature address it? What needs to be done?
So tort reform, or another way to put it, is, you know, litigation reform. It's like, what can we do to reduce individual businesses' exposure to lawsuits and litigation, and the cost associated with preventative measures in trying to avoid getting sued over something. And it is a real non-glamorous sort of a subject. You know, it's something that attorneys understand, but if you're not an attorney, you don't really understand it. But it does have a huge underlying impact in the business community as a whole, from your insurance that you pay to just your exposure that you have from a litigation front. And so we picked up this mantle largely in 2021 in that legislative session. The governor was really happy with the work that we were doing there and asked us to continue to lead on that, because there really isn't any other sort of entity or organization that is tackling this issue, because it is such a broad issue that affects so many different businesses that it's not really well suited for a lot of the other associations or business entities out there. And so we had a really a good session in 21. 23 was a banner year for us, and then we did it again in this session. And unfortunately, you know, like when you're dealing in the world of law, there's never an end to the work that you need to do in order to try to, like, provide some guardrails and some certainty around protecting businesses from litigation exposure. So we got some good things done this legislative session. We'll be looking into the next session to do it again. It'll be a never-ending sort of effort that we do on behalf of business.
A great conversation. A lot of topics covered there. MontanaChamber.com for more information. Again, it's Thursday, June 5th for that free employer forum for child care solutions. Todd O'Hare and Sheridan Hoyer, and we'll have those guys back on. Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.